The 2020 census officially kicks off today in Tuktsuk Bay, a small fishing village in far western Alaska on the Bering Sea. Census workers are gathering there, equipped with parkas and smartphones, ready to knock on doors and take demographic information tonight. But when the rest of us get canvassed, we can do it online. In fact, this will be the first U.S. census that will be conducted primarily online. And it comes after a month-long attempt by the Trump administration to add a citizenship question to the census, an attempt that failed. Well, also in Tuktsuk Bay, waiting eagerly for the first person to take the census is NPR's Hanzi Lawang. Hanzi, remind us, why does the census begin in this remote village?
Well, this is a tradition that goes back to the 1960 census. That's the first one that was conducted in the U.S. after Alaska became a state in 1959. And the reason for that is because the Census Bureau realized that in the remote parts of Alaska, January is the time to go to try to visit households, because that is when the ground is still frozen, and that means there are multiple modes of transportation. You can take dog sleds, snow machine. And also, it's a time when a lot of these communities, which are subsistence communities that rely on seasonal hunting and gathering traditions and maybe moving around different areas once the weather gets warmer, the winter time, January, that's when folks are still in their communities and makes it easier to find them and to interview them.
Isn't that fascinating? And this census is going to travel to different remote parts of the U.S. But for instance, the census is not starting today, even in Anchorage. It doesn't start in the rest of the country till mid-March.
Exactly. March 12th is when most households in the country are expected to receive a letter from the U.S. Census Bureau with instructions on how to participate. Some households will get a paper form. Most households will only get instructions to go online or to dial a 1-800 number to participate.
Yeah. And so what are people there telling you about this spotlight that is on them?
It's quite a moment for Tuktsuk Bay. I think it's safe to say most of the folks I talked to never dreamed that this would happen. Most folks weren't even really familiar with this idea of being the first community counted or to have someone be selected from their community to be the first person counted. And I talked to the tribal administrator in Tuktsuk Bay, tribal minister of the Nunakkayuk Traditional Council, which governs the Nunakkayuk Amit tribe of Tuktsuk Bay, Robert Pitka. And let's listen to what he said.
What's taking place is so important for all the communities throughout Alaska and throughout the nation, because there is so many needs. We need bigger school. Our school is overcrowded, and it's not just in Tuktsuk Bay, but I'm sure it's in all villages.
And Tribal Administrator Robert Pitka, yeah, he told me that he hoped that conducting the census and making sure there's an accurate count will ultimately lead to the community getting a greater share of the more than estimated $1.5 trillion in federal funding a year that gets distributed based on census numbers, the federal funding for health care, for roads, for schools, and a lot of other public services.
Well, you know, it is hard to overstate the importance of the census. It determines representation in Congress, as you say, funding. I mean, this is... It's very important.
Exactly. Even though it is a very under-the-radar constitutional mandate required by the Constitution, every 10 years, a count of every person living in the country, it forms how political representation and federal funding are distributed, but also really sets the reality that everyone living in the United States will be living under, because even businesses rely on this information to determine, for example, where to open new supermarkets.
Yeah, well, and as you say, everyone living in the United States, that's the key to the census. And that's why the controversy over whether or not there would be a citizenship question, you know, kind of rocked the Census Bureau so much. People were worried that if people were concerned about their citizenship status, they wouldn't respond. And it isn't about, you know, people who are citizens. It's about people who are living here. So how have they recovered, if that's the right word, from all that controversy?
It was a really major, major controversy. Again, to be very clear, there will not be a citizenship question on the 2020 census forms, because that question has been permanently blocked from the 2020 forms by three federal courts, and the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld lower court rulings, in part because it found that the Trump administration's reasoning for why it said it wanted to add this question to supposedly better enforce the Voting Rights Act, that was found by multiple federal judges to be essentially a sham justification. And at this point, the Census Bureau is trying to, it's best to move forward because its research has shown that this is a particularly sensitive question to groups that have been historically undercounted, and, including immigrant communities, Latino communities, and Asian Americans.
Yeah. And this is why you say the census has spent, what, $500 million on an ad campaign directed to those groups.
Well, this is an ad campaign that actually is trying to reach the entire country, but also have some specific focused messages to historically undercounted groups, including communities of color, and trying to encourage people to participate in the census, also to increase awareness about the census. But what I've heard from census advocates that what actually is the most effective tool to encourage people to become aware and to participate is to hear it from a local community leader, a trusted person. Those are the most effective ways. And the big question is that in this current political climate and a lot of fear about how the census information could be misused by the Trump administration, even though federal law prohibits the Census Bureau from releasing data identifying individuals until 72 years after it's collected, the question is, will people trust that the administration will uphold those laws?
Yeah, that's interesting. They can't release any of this material for 72 years. And yet, as you say, because of the whole controversy over, you know, whether or not the question was going to be added before the courts ruled, some people may still think it's in there. So that word has to get out. Census questionnaires are made available in 13 languages, but back to where you are in Alaska, do they have indigenous languages there, and are they on the form?
The forms are not available in any Alaska Native languages. There's also only one American Indian language, the forms that are available, and that's Navajo. And the reason for that is the Census Bureau this time around came up with a very specific standard policy, and they focused on non-English languages spoken in around 60,000 or more households with limited English skills. And that was the cutoff. And because of that, a lot of languages spoken by smaller size populations, including a number of Southeast Asian languages, those have not been included and have raised concerns among census advocates that in the groups that are historically undercounted, that having as many language resources would be the ideal situation, but it is a matter of choice and deciding how to best use the limited resources the Census Bureau has.
Yeah. So, Hansi Luong, there you are in Tuksok Bay. I love saying that. Can you take 1 second? What does it feel like? What are you seeing?
It's a small fishing village, and what you see is a lot of white snow on the ground, obviously, because it is Alaska in January. Yeah. But also a couple days here have been so cloudy. The sky is also very white. And so you just feel like walking around, you're just enveloped in white. Yeah. And then you see these really brightly colored houses in bright blues and yellows and greens sticking out from the white snow. They're kind of small ranch-style homes. And you have power lines draping overhead. And as you get closer to the beach, which just looks like a snowfield because it's all covered and the bay is frozen over, there are some boats lying around kind of sticking out outside the snow. And it just looks like a really charming seaside town.
Well, sounds wonderful. And I know that you are also anticipating the very first person. Now, are people in this town dreading that, or are they excited about who might be the very first person who is asked questions on the census?
There's a lot of emotions going on. I think this is, again, a small town. Last time in 2010, the Census Bureau counted 590 people living here in Tuksok Bay. We're not sure how many people will be counted today. And then so they're not used to having so many visitors all at once, including journalists ourselves. We're camping out here at the school in classrooms because there's no hotel. There are no restaurants. This is really just for people who live here. And so the first person to be counted, we visited with her, Lizzie Chemiwak, and she is preparing to receive Census Bureau officials to her home to conduct this count in private because of the privacy restrictions. But it will be a very tight fit if a lot of Census Bureau workers are inside the home ready to gather information.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful thing for Lizzie, but also something that they might dread there. NPR's Hansi Luong from Tuksok Bay in Alaska. As the first person gets ready to be asked questions for the 2020 census, thank you so much, Hansi.
You're very welcome, Robin.